Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 12th China Fahui on the Minghui website, entitled Traveling to Remote Villages on a Divine Mission, by a Falun Gong practitioner in Shandong Province.
China Fahui, Traveling to Remote Villages on a Divine Mission, by a Falun Gong practitioner in Shandong Province. Greetings, Master. Greetings, fellow practitioners. I live in a county-level city. Through my experiences over the past decade and a half, I have seen that only through solid cultivation can we work together well and fully complete our mission to reach all those who have been deceived by the communist regime's vicious propaganda. Considering many areas in the countryside have not been reached with our message, I have kept visiting those rural villages and telling people about Falun Gong and the persecution. Although I am a stranger, warm-hearted villagers treat me well, like a special guest. Once I joked with them, "This place is so remote that it seems only gods will come." They laughed in agreement. Learning lessons of poor Fa study. I was once arrested in 2008 and detained in a labor camp. Thinking it through, I found I lacked a solid understanding of the Fa because of poor Fa study. More specifically, I was busy producing truth clarification materials in the daytime and distributing them in the evening. Plus, I often squeezed in time to tell people about the importance of quitting the Chinese Communist Party, thinking there might not be enough time to save them otherwise. I was often very exhausted at the end of the day and even dozed off when sending forth righteous thoughts. It's no wonder that I failed to look within to eliminate my attachments. Inside the labor camp, I tried to recite the Fa, but I could not remember much. I felt bad because, without the Fa in my heart, it was impossible to stand up to the vicious brainwashing and torture. I swore that I would recite Juan Falun after my release. With help from Master, I came back home after 6 months. Other than clarifying the truth to people, I spent most of my spare time memorizing Juan Falun. Other practitioners in my Fa study group also did the same, and we improved quickly, looking inward often and cooperating well together. Resolving conflicts with practitioners. I thought I had done fairly well in my cultivation. However, many Xinjing tests came one after another in the past year. I learned it was indeed difficult to look within and let go of attachments. One example was Practitioner A, who provided me with informational materials on a regular basis. Because I often go out to distribute materials, I gave her a spare key in case I was not at home when she came. Soon after that, she came to my place twice, but I was out both times. She thought I was avoiding her, and she told this to other practitioners. I was upset upon hearing this. Thinking I did not do anything wrong, I decided to ignore it. Then someone told me that Practitioner A did not eat or sleep well for 3 days because of Xinjing conflicts. I felt sorry for her, and I knew it was related to me. What should I do then? Apparently, I needed to apologize to her, but I was hesitant to do so. So I sat down and sent forth righteous thoughts and eliminated all human notions related to Practitioner A. Knowing these human notions were not me, I looked inward for a solution. After about 20 minutes, a voice in my head said to me, "If you continue like this, not apologizing to Practitioner A, the old forces will be happy, but Master will be sad." This voice reached the bottom of my heart, and I cried out, "Master, I will not make you feel sad. It's all my fault, and I will go apologize now." I went to the bus station around noon and gave many people Shen Yun DVDs while waiting for the bus. Upon arriving at Practitioner A's home, I sincerely apologized to her, and our conflicts were thus dissolved by Master's compassion. Through this incident, I deeply understood that, as long as we look within, Master will help us. I knew I had many attachments, such as competing with others and not being compassionate toward other practitioners. Without digging further to find my fundamental human notions, I was unable to make decisions based on the Fa and often hurt others. Several times, practitioners also misunderstood me, although they learned later that I was innocent. Though I had not done anything wrong, I did not get upset or defend myself. Nonetheless, because I failed to look within, another bigger Xinqing test came, criticized by the coordinator. Master told us, quote, "I often say that if all a person wants is the well-being of others, and if this is without the slightest personal motivation or personal understanding, what he says will move the listener to tears." End quote. Essentials for further advancement. Because my words were not compassionate, they often hurt other practitioners. As a result, the main coordinator in our area occasionally pointed it out too. Once, after I made a mistake on a project, the main coordinator was very angry and he reprimanded me in front of other coordinators. The words were very harsh, and I could not take it anymore. It was the first time I had had an experience like that. I was depressed, even feeling it was difficult to go on with cultivation. In addition, I lacked motivation for truth clarification or working on projects with others. I had no sleep that night and cried for 2 hours the next day. I suffered a headache and could not even study the Fa, let alone go out to clarify the facts to people. Looking back over the 10-plus years, I did not give up or cry, despite the brutal persecution or even inside the labor camp. Why did eliminating my attachment suddenly seem so difficult that it was almost more challenging than letting go of life and death? I was clear in my mind that working well with the coordinator was necessary for fulfilling our mission. But I still was reluctant to apologize to the coordinator because I felt I had been wronged. Then I watched Master's video lecture of Fa teaching given to the Australian practitioners, which cleansed my mind at the deepest level. In my mind, I said, "Master, I know I was wrong. If I had done well, the coordinator would not be angry. Plus, being a coordinator has many challenges. Through the years, he has been doing things righteously and according to the Fa. This is for sure." The more I thought about it, the more I found I was wrong. I called the coordinator and sincerely apologized. I told him it was all my fault. I was like an elementary school student now, and I had to handle situations that a college student would encounter. I asked him to give me some time, and I promised to improve as well as meet the standard. The coordinator was also moved, and I could feel his sincerity and compassion. From then on, we were able to work together seamlessly as usual. Since then, I have noticed some changes in me. I was able to endure more and not hurt others. From the way other practitioners talk, I sometimes could see how I behaved in the past. Now I am able to speak with a softer tone and be more considerate of others. Telling people about Falun Gong in the rural areas. When passing some towns near my city, I was often in tears thinking of how many people had been brainwashed by the hate propaganda of the CCP. I knew one of the towns had only 3 or 4 practitioners. Among them, one was forced to stop practicing Falun Gong, and others did not dare to tell people about Falun Gong out of fear. I decided to do something about it. Since 2001, I have finished distributing information to all the households in 2 towns, and I am working on the 3rd one, with altogether more than 100 villages. I visited the local residents door by door, regardless of the weather or distance. It was not easy, but I knew it was something I must do. Every time I went to a village, it was as if I was telling someone about Falun Gong for the first time. That is, it required good Fa study and strong righteous thoughts. Most of the time, I distribute materials in my city and go to the countryside once a week. The materials I take to the villages usually consist of 150 to 200 pamphlets, the 9 commentaries on the Communist Party, Shenyun DVDs, and sometimes software that breaks through the internet firewall. The pamphlet goes to every home, while the DVDs are usually distributed face-to-face so I could tell them the importance of quitting the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, at the same time. Some of the villages have 700 or 800 families, and I had to visit several times to reach all the homes. On warm days, people usually gather in the alleys or under trees, either chatting or playing poker. I usually wish them well and explain why one ought to sever all ties to the CCP for its brutal crimes against the Chinese people. Most of them were willing to listen and accept materials. Sometimes they were very eager and did not want to miss out on even one piece of material. I was deeply moved. Because I often take long-distance buses, the drivers know me well. They accepted pamphlets and DVDs as well as agreed to withdraw their memberships in the party. They also supported me when I told other passengers about Falun Gong. One day, a new driver reminded me that the bus has a security video camera. Seeing he was worried about my safety, I told him that it should be all right because the person who monitored the video camera could learn the truth in this way too. Once it started to rain as soon as I entered the village, I continued visiting every home and distributing materials. Seeing the rainwater on my head and face as well as mud on my pants, some residents asked me to stay and wait for the rain to stop. I thanked them and explained why I came. They all accepted materials and decided to quit the CCP organizations. I was so happy for them. Some of the villages were in the mountains where no buses go. One practitioner took me there on a motorcycle. The narrow road went up and down with many sharp turns. It was very scary, and I kept asking Master for help the entire trip. When I gave materials to the village residents, they were very nice to me and treated me like an honored guest. I left the village on that day at sunset. All the materials were gone, and I had a list of dozens of names of people who signed up to quit the CCP. After walking downhill for a few miles, I saw more people. I explained to them the importance of separating themselves from the Communist Party, and some of them signed up to quit. The other practitioner came by motorcycle at about 8 p.m. as we had planned. I was a little tired, but had such a warmth in my heart. Fulfilling our mission. After finishing the second town, I planned to stop because of my attachment to comfort. One day, in a dream, I saw several strands of yarn, and some of the threads were broken. I knew it was a hint for me not to lose the connection with the sentient beings. When checking the map, I found the third town was about 70 miles from my place, but I decided to do it anyway and have been continuing with it since then. When riding a bus and passing the villages, I feel relieved because I know every home here has received one copy of material that includes a pamphlet and a DVD. There are many efforts behind it, and this provides every family an opportunity to learn the truth. Sometimes, even though there is only one isolated family on the hill, I still go there and deliver material. If the material runs out, I would write down the address or other details if no address was available and make sure this home would receive material during my next trip. The power of truth. I was arrested 3 times when going to the countryside during recent years. The first time occurred at a farmer's market, and I was released after 1 hour. The second time happened in a village. Police took me to the police station at 10 a.m., and I was released 30 minutes later. Considering many people had seen me being arrested, I did not want to leave a negative impression on them. So I went back, arriving at 11 a.m. Many people were still there chatting, and they were surprised to see me there again. "Please do not worry," I said. "Falun Gong is righteous and will benefit the society. We practitioners will not harm anyone, and I just come here bringing you blessings." They looked at me and nodded. I then went to the committee office and clarified the truth to the security officers. The third arrest was in a village. A young man grabbed my left arm, and I continued distributing materials with the right arm. Then I turned to him and said with compassion, "Young man, we practitioners use the money from our own pockets and make these DVDs. Please let me finish giving them out. If police come and confiscate them, the materials would be wasted, and it won't do you any good." "I see, Auntie. Please hurry up then, because the police are coming soon," said the man as he let go of my arm. I continued till the police van arrived, and I was able to finish the last three DVDs in my hand. A police officer told me to get in the van. I smiled at him. "Thank you. It seems I do not need to walk down the mountain then." The village residents were surprised seeing me so calm. "How could you still smile?" one of them asked. "It will be fine," I said to the crowd. "These police officers are good people, and they just do their job." People seemed relieved by my words. Police took me to the police station, and county police then sent me home. 3 days later, I went back to the village to reach the rest of the people. When looking back, I noticed these arrests happened after I had conflicts with other practitioners. With a competitive mentality and ego, I did not look within right away. From this, I learned it was hard to save people if our minds are not pure. Saving police officers. Through continued FOSS study, I realized the police officers had also been poisoned by the hate propaganda. They should be saved too. The coordinator also pointed out my mentality toward the officers, because only compassion could save them. From then on, I often made phone calls to officers or sent them letters, telling them why one should not blindly follow the party and persecute Falun Gong practitioners. Moved by my sincere attitude, one officer quit the party and asked me to always put Falun Gong materials in a safe place when going out. I thanked him and said, "For many years, many police officers have followed Jiang Zemin's orders to mistreat innocent Falun Gong practitioners. It is very wrong to defy the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. Please treat practitioners well, and you will be blessed for your good deeds." He listened to me and nodded. Every time when sending forth righteous thoughts, I send out a thought, hoping police officers will stop doing things against Falun Gong practitioners. I also sent forth righteous thoughts to eliminate viciousness behind them, so these officers could be saved. One day in my room, I saw beautiful Udumbara flowers with 10 petals in my room. More came out several days later. When one practitioner took a picture of them, we saw Falun in the image. I know it is encouragement from Master for me to do better with a purer mind.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.